This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, I'm Ahmad Fuad Rahmat.
I'm Vizla Komarisan.
And this is Digital Desires, the show that explores how screen culture is changing human interaction. Welcome to the show, Samuel Lim. So you're a movie writer with MovieDash.com, right?
Yep.
A website that basically offers commentaries on films, local and international. But you're also a recent graduate in IACT, and you take a keen interest in popular culture, online culture, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And you're here to talk to us about emojis.
Yes.
So emojis. First things first, though, everybody, happy World Emoji Day.
Yes.
Yes.
For the uninitiated, July 17th is World Emoji Day. Did you know about that, Sam?
No, I did not. It sounds like a made-up holiday.
It's not even a holiday. I wish at least it could have been a holiday.
But well, it's in the it's online. It's in the diary of holidays.
Oh, wow, okay.
But we just don't get the day off for it. That's all.
Yeah. And does any sovereign nation actually acknowledge Emoji Day? I'm just wondering.
We should, though, right? Because they've become such an integral part of how we text.
Yes.
Yeah, it has.
But let's pause. How would you celebrate World Emoji Day if you were going to do that?
I would just use them as much as I can. Especially now that all you have to do to find an emoji is type what you need.
Yeah.
Right. So like, if I want a guitar emoji, I just type guitar and guitar comes on. You know, I have a game with a friend. Sometimes we would text each other. We would text each other emojis of song titles. It's actually fun. So we have to guess. Yeah. Yeah, and see, she's also into music, so her repertoire of knowledge is quite vast. So quite
basically
fun.
Your communication is only with emojis.
Only for, especially with that game, it's always only with emojis. But otherwise, yeah, we talk about other things. But when we just scroll up our chat history, we just are quite taken aback by how much emojis have helped us bond.
Wow, you know? Wow.
So that's a tangible effect of using emojis, you know, in a friendship, right? So it's serious stuff.
Yeah, it apparently unites people.
Yeah. So I remember the good old days of IRC and ICQ when you actually had to type out the emoji with your colon
and
the back bracket, right? And then you get a smiley, right? There was effort required, but now you just pick the image. Is this something very frivolous, Samuel, or do you think that there is more to emojis than we normally think?
Well, I think emojis are very much written off as the sort of valley girl or normative culture sort of way of responding to another human being. For example, if you want to say hi to somebody, but you want to make it maybe feel special, you put a hand there. You wouldn't just say hi. And at this point, it's strange because I've had bosses who scolded me for not using emojis.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I met someone the other day who actually got told off because they use an emoji
really?
In a work chat.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. Well, that I kind of get, but why would it be a problem if you don't?
It doesn't connote warmth. Apparently,
interesting.
Yeah, when I told a client, I'm very much glad to have you on board. I look forward to working with you in the future. My boss wrote back to me saying, why did you have to write it that way? I said, well, pinpoint to me where exactly did I go wrong. He told me, my ex-boss told me actually, well, first of all, Where was the smiley face? Where was the heart? Where was any sort of warmth? I felt them. I don't need that. He told me this just feels clinical and sanitized. We are professional, right? Yes, but we are PR professional. We want to seem nice. We want to seem relatable. Get with the times.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, there are levels to emojis too. It's not unusual that you deliberate over which type of kiss emoji to use after a date, for example. So there's the kiss with the hearts, and there's the kiss with the open eyes, which is a very friendly one. There's the kiss with the closed eyes, right? So sometimes there'll be discussions onto, you know, which is, I guess, which is a more substantial indicator of warmth, to use your words, right? You know, the kiss with the open eyes or the closed eyes. I mean, these things are part of our vocabulary now, right?
Yeah.
So, correct, there's warmth, but I do also want to add that technique is increasingly becoming a consideration now.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So even smileys, do you use the one with the flat cheek, red cheeks, or the ones with the round cheeks?
Yeah, right? Exactly.
So, now the round cheeks now, people are saying is a bit distant.
Oh,
the,
is
the,
it?
The pinky one, the flat one, it connotes a little bit of trust.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But again, who knows? But this is where we're heading now, you know?
Well, it's... I'm sorry, this is just ridiculous.
Well,
why does it matter if I meant what I said? Remember...
Well, that's why you're here. You're the millennial. You have to tell us.
When people wrote loving sonnets and poems to people and they just sang their hearts out, nobody needed an emoji. Nobody needed a visual component. Yeah. They just read it and understood. But I think this sort of shorthand has become indicative of how much thought you put into it. So, for example, if I have, like you said, that blushing effect, I guess some people would read into it saying, wow, he looked at 15 different smile emojis and took time to decide which one he wanted the most to express how he feels. So in that sense, emojis have become sort of a language even.
Mm.
For example, if I am ambivalent towards you, but I don't feel like necessarily expressing my ambivalence, I just give you a simple smile emoji.
Yes, yeah. But what would be the word to describe that?
The smile emoji?
No. You're ambivalent about someone, but yet, you know, you have to respond to them. And how do you convey that confusion? I'm ambivalent about you, but I need to respond to you. And yet, you know, there is no word to describe that. So why not an emoji?
Well, simply put, facial features and facial tics show quite a lot. For example, you can tell when somebody's uncomfortable even when you're smiling at you, especially when you're biting your lip or they're just clenching your teeth.
You'll be surprised how many people don't realize
really?
That. Yes. I'm a psychologist, I can tell you. A lot of people don't realize
really?
That, yeah.
Okay, wow. Well, you have this simple sanitized smile. It immediately connotes, all right, this person clearly does not care much. He's being nice. So It's sort of a cue for protocol. You give me that face, I understand, we're going to keep it arm's length.
Yeah.
You send me a ton of emojis with smiley faces, hearts, hands raised. I'm immediately assuming you want a deeper connection.
Yeah, you know, deeper, quote unquote, how deep can you get at some point, right? Well, I remember after a meeting, and I gave a card to this guy, and this guy texted me with some details to follow up. And the first emoji he sent me was the smiley face with the hand up. Sort of the embrace emoji. Yeah. And my immediate thought was, whoa, we just met once. Calm down, man. You know, we're not at that level yet.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, because at that point, you know, I caught
that.
Myself. I caught myself thinking, oh, why am I deliberating, you know, about emoji? But that's the level it's gotten.
Yeah, but let me ask you, with that, after that, conversation online, when you met, was there a deeper warmth between the two of you?
No, I don't think so. Okay, this is the interesting part. Is it a separate channel of communication where certain things one can get away with more than one could in real life? Or are they too seamless, right?
Or is that more performative?
Right.
You know, the conversation with the emojis. Is it a performance to sort of imply closeness?
Mm-hmm.
My pet peeve is when people call me dear.
Mm.
Oh.
Right? It's basically, you know, it's to imply a closeness that's not there.
Yeah.
So is that something that emojis are also used for?
Yeah, but the problem is that it's very relative too, because sometimes I have certain go-to emojis that most people are not necessarily accustomed to, right?
Mm.
So a lot of it depends too on. For some people, the kiss with the heart is no big deal. They're always already.
That's what I use with my family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for some people, that's like third base.
Yeah.
You know, you don't go there yet. You know.
Whoa. Dial it back, friend.
So again, this is where this is a field of miscommunication as well, right? I mean. People can read into it, especially when you realize you're connecting more and more nowadays with just a bigger quantity of people than before, because that's just what happens now. We're so interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times, the connection are not necessarily nurtured in person, right? So that's where the different wavelengths might become a problem. For some people, they might prefer a certain set of emojis than others, right?
But also because you're not a lot of your interactions are not happening in person, it also makes sense why you'd use emojis, because it's a human face.
Yeah.
At least it's supposed to be a human face.
It's beige in color.
Well, you have the darker skin.
Skin tone. Yes. Exactly.
The cat with the hearts is becoming a bit more frequent.
Yes. I've seen that pop up in groups quite often. I do have a question for both of you. Is there a fixed set of emojis that you guys rotate between?
Yeah. I do, because as soon as you open your keyboard, they're always going to show you the ones you use the most.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So. You don't use emojis?
No, I do not.
Oh my God.
I try my best not to.
Well done.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Well, I do use it once because I come from a relatively conservative Christian home. And whenever it's time to watch Game of Thrones, we literally have a group called Game of Thrones Group. So we called it something else. We called it Bible Camp, for goodness sake. So whenever it was time to go and watch Game of Thrones, we just put a picture of a church there. And then we think, oh, okay, Mom, it's time to go to church. You can, and they go, really now? Can you not see the picture of the church? Goodbye. So, yeah.
Well, Mrs. Lim, we're disappointed with Samuel, too, if you're listening to this.
I like church.
I was just going to ask you, there are many emojis that are quite consonant with or would not contradict Christian beliefs at all.
Nope.
Right? Yeah. So I think there's a cross in there somewhere in the WhatsApp.
There is a cross, but I think there are also other symbols to denote
there's
religious.
A Muslim one as
there's
well.
Quite a few. I mean, I think emojis are quite inclusive. They are quite inclusive. And if you want to, on WhatsApp at least, there are all these different combinations of couples.
Yeah.
You know, same sex or heterosexual, whatever it is.
The brinjal and the peach.
Yes, you know, and also
and the tongue.
Then now you can pick the tone. So it has become quite inclusive, and I do realize, I do notice sometimes when I go to bed and I wake up, my phone automatically updates itself. There are new emojis or new variations or something has changed. So it's constantly being worked on.
Exactly.
I think to have a closer reflection of society.
Yeah. And at times the numerous variation of emojis reflect the current times we lived in, because there's actually a controversy about the gun and bomb emoji on whether it should be banned or not, because in America school shootings are quite frequent. So they thought, you know what, we're going to get rid of these emojis because they don't necessarily make people feel comfortable.
Mm.
So if you show somebody maybe just smiling and you put a gun next to your head, it means something very different. It doesn't mean necessarily something lighthearted anymore. It suddenly becomes a joke in poor taste.
Right.
So I kind of see, as emojis move on, we're going to start having to understand how they work. Is there sort of etiquette to emojis?
Yes.
Whether we can use them in a sense of decorum. Decorum in emojis, my goodness. Or is there a sort of rude or even offhanded way of using it that seems careless?
Anyway, interesting overview there. Samuel, thanks for extending your insights onto this. We'll be right back to talk about World Emoji Day. I'm Ahmad Farama, alongside Vizla Kumarasan, joined this week by Samuel Lim of Movie-.com, and we are talking about emojis, and this is BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, listening to Digital Desires, the show that explores how screen culture is changing human interaction. I'm Ahmad Fuad Rahmat, alongside Vizla Kumarasan, and Samuel Lim is with us today to talk about World Emoji Day. So let's compare emojis with other visual modes of sharing, right? So the GIF, for example, has not taken off as profoundly as emojis have. Right.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? Because at one point, I really thought GIFs would just take over emojis because they're animated. There's a lot more going on there. But it's still taking its time, it looks like. So tell us a bit about that comparison.
Well, speaking from experience in WhatsApp groups, there is a strong amount of recommendation that comes when somebody sends a GIF.
Huh.
Because everyone's phone now has to load that GIF. And we immediately tell them off. Why did you do that? Now you've inconvenienced 15 seconds of our time and we are very angry with you. And we will express that in emoji and with text as well. So, so perhaps GIF would be fine with, if a compression engine made it seamless that it could just load immediately. But if you're going to eat up 15 seconds of my time just to show me an image that's not even that funny, I take umbrage. Right. We all take umbrage. Right. So, yeah.
Yeah. But I also think it depends on the platform because GIFs are quite popular on Twitter.
Okay. Yeah, I think so too, yeah.
Right, so I think it depends on the platform. So if you're going to be communicating with just like groups of people and it's going to take 15 seconds of the time and they can't be bothered, then it's not very popular.
Yeah.
But on Twitter, it's a different universe altogether.
That's true, yeah. Whereas text, you want it to be very, very short, impactful, and concise.
That's right.
And GIFs are not that.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
And especially if you are in groups in WhatsApp, a lot of people, and I suppose they want the easiest way of communicating, and that would be emojis,
not even
text.
That's true. But stickers too, right? Stickers too have not really taken off despite having been around.
But isn't that also depending on the platform?
The platform, yeah. I mean, Telegram is known for stickers, but Messenger, Facebook Messenger is known for stickers as well. But they haven't become universalized. Right?
No, not as much as the emoji, right?
Yeah. Although I have seen services in which premium stickers have been sold. For example, Rick and Morty, which is this very popular Adult Swim TV show, they're selling their stickers at perhaps $2 US, and you can use as many as you want. It's I believe it's a monthly subscription, maybe. So stickers are unique in the way that they express a very sort of specific emotion, emojis might not exactly have that much space because it's a single sort of letter-sized emotion.
Mm.
But if you put a sticker, it could have a auto-generated reaction. It could be elaborate. It could be fancy.
That's true.
So,
but it also sort of creates communities or speaks within communities, right? Like a Rick and Morty sticker would mean a lot more to somebody else who was a fan of Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
Whereas the emoji is a lot more universal in that sense. Mm. It's also very flat. But, you know, there are pros and cons, I suppose.
Yeah. What's interesting is how, I think we go back to what you said earlier about the emoji being called emoji to begin with, used to be called emoticons.
Yes.
Yeah, not too long ago. Although now, given how fast things move online, it's probably a retro term too, emoticon, right?
Yes.
But it is meant to show, to emote, right? And do you find that because you're closer to the sort of that generation, you're closer to things that are immediately fresh and new. I think you're closer to the trends than I am personally. Do you feel that this is in any way taking away something from, I guess, more natural ways of emoting? Do you feel that we're becoming more and more reliant on them at the expense of, you know, developing more robust emotional literacy on our own, you know?
Ah, I see. Well, me and my friends were discussing about this because we thought perhaps one day, instead of actually expressing love in our own unique sort of sentiment, we'd start just showing emotion. It's a very sort of Black Mirror scenario in which it's very dystopian. I hope we never reach that point, but I see that it's starting to reach that point because the way we act and the way we sort of weave emojis and abbreviations from text into our everyday language. For example, people don't just say when they meet somebody, "Hi, how are you?" They actually do the whole heart-shaped thing with their hands and then they run and then they do these strange finger gestures and I go, "What on earth are you doing?"
I saw my students do the this gesture. Or was it the this? I don't know, but it's an emoji gesture after their friends present it.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's trickling into real life, yeah.
Yeah, and it's scary. I want to tell them, stay where you are. I understand if you want to tell people how you feel about them through emojis, that's perfectly fine. But here in the real world, we do not do that. That is not etiquette or behavior. You hug me genuinely or you don't hug at all.
Yes, but then the lines between the real world and the digital world are quickly becoming blurred.
Yes.
Yes, I suppose I mean, people don't laugh out loud anymore. People actually go lol instead of laughing out loud.
Yes,
yeah,
they
that's
do.
True. That's a good example.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes. And I suppose since that's happened, eventually we will sort of give you an emoji hug.
What would that even look like? Is that just electrical impulses just running through my body?
Well, no. No, I can imagine. I can imagine this. It'll be, quote-unquote, a safer world in that you never have to touch people, so you never have to actually cross people's boundaries. People will never have to...
Or people you don't know, right?
People you don't know.
At least people you don't
know. Or at least people you don't even know what they I don't like this word.
Where the sensitivities
but yeah,
are,
the sensitivities.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say baggage, but that's a much better word,
yeah.
Right? People don't like to be touched sometimes, and so therefore, if you give them an emoji hug,
yeah,
they're safe.
I think your church would like that.
Yes, I think I think they would. Touching is a bit of a big no-no there. So, I feel like we're moving into a very sort of inorganic realm,
yes,
or at least in a more synthesized way. A cyber-organic environment in which the way we connote or the way we communicate with one another is going to spill into reality, like what you said. And as somebody, I come from the old guard of millennials where we look upon...
Old guard.
Millennials.
Yes.
Are there periodization in millennial terms too? Anyway, go on.
Yes. My generation is constantly being misunderstood as Gen Z. Gen Zers are people who grew up after 96 who have never known an age without the internet.
Right.
We still look fondly upon those strange sort of high school crushes. We move towards you, you move away. Maybe you hold my hand, I hold your hand. These are small ticks. These are nuances and they're great. Sometimes they're awkward, but they're great. But then you start to weave into these strange inorganic components and we begin to wonder, is this starting to deprecate, if not degrade, the human experience?
But you know, it also strikes me, Sam, that you are someone who's comfortable expressing yourself, whether with words or with physical affection, whatever it is. You seem quite comfortable doing that. I'm thinking about the person who doesn't know how to do that and how difficult it is for them to navigate the world and how isolating it must feel because they can't do that. And what a gift it would be to have
emojis
to help you do that.
Okay, first of all, good pun. that felt natural, organic. Learn. I
don't think anybody has it figured out at 16 on how to relate to the opposite sex, unless they.
I wasn't even thinking about 16 years old. Yeah. There are people who are older than that who still struggle with it.
You're what? 21?
22. Yeah.
22. Yeah. And some people at 22 still struggle.
Yes. Yeah. Some people at 40 are still struggling.
But also the other thing too is that a lot of times, and we're going on a tangent here because we're talking about quote unquote, you know, the birds and the bees are opposite. A lot of times people flatter to deceive. The confidence actually betrays deeper. And sometimes they feign confidence in order to obscure that. So, but I get your point. You know, it's not that easy to categorize people who know and people who don't know. Mm. I don't know. I mean, especially when every person you meet is different, maybe. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in human interaction is uncomfortable. And if it was up to me, so would text
Such
conversations.
Such a millennial thing to say, human interaction is uncomfortable.
Well,
but go on.
It's always been uncomfortable.
I don't know about that. Okay, go on.
Meeting a client you don't like in the 1940s is just as uncomfortable as meeting a client you don't like in 2010.
Well, human touch is uncomfortable. That one, I think, for the longest time, I mean, religion has sort of regulated it. But interaction, I think, is a broader scope of options.
Actually, I'm
with
Sam on this one. Human interaction is uncomfortable.
It's difficult, don't get me wrong. Now, okay, since you're here, and maybe this is off tangent, but I want to go back to the question of what blanks emojis try to fill or not. And there's a common saying among millennials right now, a common phrase that sounds something like dead inside or dying inside, right? There's memes about, you know, this is how I look, but I'm dead inside. It's so used commonly in a cavalier way, and I kind of get it, you can brush it off, but, you know, there's something morbid about that.
Oh, yes.
You know, that is used enough times. Now, our emojis, our over-reliance on them, a way to somewhat make up for that inner death, you know, that you know, I'm so numb in general. That's what social media does to me anyway. You know, this is how I feel. And I don't really have to go into depth. And I'll just pick an emoji, you know.
I like what you said, especially picking up on the dead inside. It's much easier to show a dead inside text followed with smiley face emojis. People write that off as funny.
Right.
I find that incredibly disingenuous because people have forgotten to genuinely break down and cry. I mean, I don't expect it to do it in public. Yeah. But whenever they see this, nobody Instagram pictures of their worst moments. Nobody feels comfortable exposing or talking about. There's always a sort of sanitized veneer to everything. So even that dead inside statement, it could be the danger about that is the ambiguity. I don't know if you're crying. I don't know if you're doing this for laughs or if you're going to shoot yourself.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's this world of, so as much as I enjoy for what it is, maybe it is humorous, that level of ambiguity is certainly frightening.
Yeah. Because you just see so much of it around now. And I'm just like, especially in light of the things we talk about, right?
Yeah.
About the sorts of disconnections that we somehow don't notice because we're so hyper-connected.
Yeah.
Right? That sentiment is being shared a lot. But we have to pause this discussion right now. Pause because we'd love to have you on again, Samuel, because I think a lot of time we're trying to wrap our heads around these things and you explain them very well, you know?
Okay.
Also, he's from a different generation from the two
of us. That's the other thing, yeah. Let's plug your website one more time.
Oh, sure. You can find us. You can find my writing and my company, I guess, at Movie Dash on Facebook.
Movie Dash. And there's a website, .com, is that?
Yeah. Movie Dash. It's M-O-V-I-E, Movie, D-A-S-H. And they are one word together. You can get it there. If you want a deconstruction of films or media, you can also find for my articles there as well.
Great.
And yeah.
Wonderful. Thanks so much.
It's been great having you on the show, Sam.
Great to be here.
Yeah, you can email the show. It's biggerpicture@bfm.my or tweet us at BFM Radio. That's our handle. Are you on Twitter or Instagram? Do you want to plug that? Or
Instagram, sure. You can find me at Sam Lim Lego. That was a very, very uncomfortable few words to say.
You a Lego guy?
No, it was actually a phrase that my friend started to popularize, like, instead of saying let's go, they bastardized it to Lego, which is L-E-G-G-O. So then I thought, you know what? I want to be hip. I want to be young. Why not?
Yeah. Sam, you want to save time too.
Exactly.
Right? So just say Lego instead of let's go. Yeah. No dead inside memes on your Instagram,
no,
right?
No, dead inside memes.
And we won't tell your mom about Game of Thrones.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thanks again, everybody. That was Samuel Lim and I'm Ahmad Fuad Rahman alongside Vizla Kumarasan, and this is Digital Desires on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.